Thank you once again for tuning in to Cinema Central. I'm your host, DJ Ace, and we're here to talk about movies, man, because movies are beautiful and amazing, and I love to talk about them, and hopefully you enjoy listening to me talk about them. It's a cycle of cinema. I'm totally going to trademark that. Anyway, I am joined here by this gentleman. His name is Logan.
Hello.
His name is Logan
Weaver.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
And you're probably wondering, why is this guy important enough to be on a podcast?
Where did I come from?
Well, hey, we're college buddies, and he's visiting for the weekend. And he's cool because he's the mastermind behind the graphics. So, round of applause.
Whoa.
Why are you applauding yourself?
Because I did a good job. It's a pat on the back.
That he did. So, we are here to talk about Black Panther. We went and saw Black Panther this weekend. It came out on February 16th, and it was a beautiful movie.
It was absolutely beautiful.
Obviously, our favorite man in a black suit, T'Challa. Am I saying that wrong?
No, I think that's right.
Played by Chadwick Boseman. Yes, it is. Obviously, he was introduced in Captain America: Civil War, and I loved him in that movie. He was really cool. He had this, like, Philosopher King vibe in Civil War, which was really fun.
Yeah, and we didn't know a whole lot about him going into Civil War. He was just kind
of
there.
Of course,
but
if you're a comic book fan, you knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah, you're more of the comic book fan. I'm more of the just the movie aspect, to be honest. But anyway, I personally didn't know a whole lot about him going into it. In fact, even afterward, I kind of saw him as like a kind of like Marvel's version of Batman,
yeah.
But I was wrong.
You were very wrong, actually.
I was very wrong, because I just thought, oh, he's got a lot of money, and he's a superhero, so he's like Wakandan Batman. But no,
yeah,
I was
go with that.
Wrong.
So, before we go any deeper, fair warning, spoilers ahead, potentially.
Spoilers!
We'll more than likely be spoiling this movie. So, what you're going to do is you're going to tune out. You're going to go see Black Panther, and then you're going to tune back in and listen to our awesome review of this movie by Marvel. So, Black Panther is, of course, set in Wakanda. Obviously, the king passed away in Captain America: Civil War, and, you know, that whole series of events played out. So, this is like a week after. This takes place like a week after those events, and T'Challa is being crowned king of Wakanda. And they do this awesome opening sequence explaining what the deal with Wakanda is and the vibranium. And that alone makes them this super powerful nation. But they've
obviously... Nobody knows.
But nobody knows about it because they went and hid away. And there's some flashbacks at the beginning, which do a lot to set up the story for this movie. A younger king confronts his brother in Oakland, California, in like 1993?
92, I believe.
92? Really?
Yeah.
Was it 92?
92.
That's awesome. I was born in 92. Anyway.
And
he confronts his brother, and it turns out his brother's been doing some bad stuff. And
he was originally there as a spy, just so just so people know, because Wakanda had like spies in each country.
Yeah, they had spies
and so
everybody,
with,
everywhere.
As people may know, all the racial tension of the early 90s. So his brother saw that, and he wanted to use his power, not so much for good, though. Like, he had good intentions, I guess.
Yeah.
But when you think about it and kind of relate it back to what was actually going on and everything, it wasn't the best idea, because Wakanda is all about peace, but he was wanting to make it a war.
Yeah.
So that's when
things went sideways, and the king murdered his own brother, which is kind of sad. It'd be kind of like me murdering you right now.
Oh.
But we're not going to do that, okay?
But I'm not your brother, so.
That's true. Well, you're close enough, I guess.
Like a younger brother.
Yeah.
Like
all right. So.
But it's important to know,
I
mean, since
they're the most critical mistake ever, they leave the son behind.
Since we are spoiling this.
We are spoiling
everything.
So
if you've already made it this far in, you may want to... This is like your definite turnaround.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not revealed that he is his brother until after.
That's true.
Like,
they don't
until
talk
like
about
the very
that.
End.
This movie had some very clever, unique storytelling, which worked. It really worked. It was
oh, yeah.
Good, great, like, combination of flashbacks and foreshadowing, it worked well.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it. And, yeah, and it turns out that his son ends up, which is, he grows up and then he's played by Michael B. Jordan. He did
great.
An amazing job.
Killmonger. Oh, man, he's great. And, you know, I recently just watched Creed, which he did in 2016, and he did really well in that movie. So I'm really not surprised that he got picked for the role. And yeah, he was an exceptional movie villain. He's kind of like a Magneto to me, because the deal with Magneto is he's a bad guy, but he has good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Like the core to his intentions are well rooted. He just happens to be taking it in a bad direction. That's kind of how I felt about Killmonger, kind of similar to Magneto.
Yeah, and I guess sort of his intentions were, once he finally got to, because what was it? Klaus?
Claw.
Claw had been terrorizing Wakandan people for forever now.
He stole vibranium.
Yeah, that's what it was.
The king's brother helped Claw steal the vibranium.
But and then he had done all this wrongdoing against people of Wakanda, but the former king had done nothing about it, or at least he couldn't do anything about it. He didn't have the chance to. And so he ends up actually killing him. So more spoilers, sorry. But
Killmonger kills Claw.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was really surprising. I did not see that coming.
I'm going to be honest. I had seen a spoiler review. Like, I had no idea about Black Panther, so I really didn't care about the spoiler too much because I had no idea about the story to begin with. So I had seen where it said both villains die. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, the villains dying is obviously a huge problem in the MCU. So he gets a 50-50. Killmonger gets a 50-50. He's a great villain, but he died at the end. So he gets an average score.
Yeah.
So, or something like that.
That's the only thing he almost lived. There's only
three perfect villains in the MCU. What was his name? The guy in Civil War, the villain.
I know who you're talking about, though.
He was a great villain, and he survived the end of the movie.
He almost didn't, though. Zemo. He almost killed himself. But
Zemo survived and was a good villain in Civil War. So we have that. Anyway, so obviously Wakanda is this crazy awesome nation. And, you know, previously in the MCU, like, kind of the eye candy shot for me had always been Asgard. That is a beautiful city, really well done. And it just looked amazing in every movie. Obviously, they can't do that anymore, but I felt like Wakanda, just the visuals alone, was kind of on the same level of just being eye candy, like on the screen with the flybys and the city.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool looking.
And then, like, the sunset shots and everything, it was beautiful.
Yes. So let's talk about this cast for a minute. Obviously, this cast is primarily African-American actors and actresses, which was amazing. They all did a great job. Like, the only two, like, significant, like, white actors in here was Martin Freeman, who played the CIA agent, and then, of course, Claw, who is played by Andy Serkis.
Yes.
And which is hilarious because it's Gollum and Bilbo in the same movie.
That's why he looked familiar.
Yeah.
Dude, okay.
Yeah, Andy Serkis got jacked for this movie.
Yeah, I had completely forgotten about that, but now that you mention it, I now see the resemblance.
So basically, so those are the only two, like, main white actors in this film, but everyone else, African-American, and is beautiful. It is a very cultural film.
It
like,
was.
Because it's in, like, Africa, and it has all these cultural, like,
and
overtones.
It never directly mentions the culture thing, but it's metaphorical for, and even today's world where we see this kind of stuff happen, it, you can kind of apply that. So it's a very, very timely film.
It is.
Well.
Yeah. This Black Panther has a lot to say about the current, like, socioeconomical, going ons and like American stuff.
And yeah, so basically once he overthrows the throne and comes into power, starts using his power for evil, his reasoning is to weaponize the spies that they have. And each spy is Wakandan, which means they're all African-American. Mm-hmm. And he's seen firsthand when he was in the U.S. in Oakland as a kid and growing up in Oakland in the U.S., how, and he was even in the military for a while in the U.S., his character was.
Yeah.
So he saw the racial tension. He wanted to use Wakanda's weapons and arm them, which obviously isn't a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's like the opposite way to take, especially for Wakanda, who is like all about peace and tradition. And their.
But the beautiful part about this movie is that Killmonger is like mirroring what T'Challa in a weird way even though Killmonger's a bad guy, he's pushing T'Challa to rethink their lives, because obviously they have this essentially a perfect lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just in this like position of isolationism and ignoring the rest of the world, and Killmonger takes that and kind of slaps it in his face. So it's because like he's just like, yeah, you really can't be doing this anymore. Yeah. And I'm going to do something about it.
And when you realize he had good intentions, just obviously an evil way of doing it, I guess.
Yes,
like,
yes.
He wanted justice, but that's not the way to go. But if you watch until the after credit scene, they finally do open up to the rest of the world. He addresses the United Nations. He's like, we now would like to share our resources. And I think it's funny. I forget if it was in the after credit scene or not. I don't think it was.
Yeah,
but
there are two after credit scenes, by the way.
Yeah, there are. I think it was right at the end of the movie, so before the after credit scene. They're in Oakland, and
yeah.
She's like, yeah, this is where our uncle
died.
And it has like a condemned sign on it. He's like, yeah. Or she's like, yeah. His sister's like, yeah, it's about ready to be torn down. He's like, no, it's not, because I bought this building.
And this one.
And this one. And this one. And this one.
It was a really feel-good moment. And yeah, let's just talk about the actresses for a minute, because we had some
phenomenal
portrayals here, because there are three main female actresses going into this movie. You had the general character, so she was in charge of the Wakandan army. You had T'Challa's sister, who was like the inventor, and then you had his love interest, who was a spy. So it was just really interesting to kind of me, and it was just really great because, you know, obviously the movie's about Black Panther. It has his name in the title. But these three individuals had such prominent roles for, like, the entire film. Like, Martin Freeman's character, he was just there. He was basically along for the ride for, like, the entire movie. And obviously Claw gets killed by the end of the first act. So it's just, like, it's really refreshing to see some innovation here in this film.
Yeah, absolutely. And his sister was hilarious because she's sort of like late teens maybe, so she's very sassy. She's not as traditional as the others. I mean, she still follows tradition, but she always like back talks, and it was funny when she sassed him like early on, before he was crowned, and she gave him the finger or something. It was funny.
It was. And speaking of funny, this movie was a kind of serious movie. It's still a Marvel movie, so it's enjoyable to watch. And it has a lot to say, but it had some jokes. There were some jokes in there.
It didn't seem quite as lighthearted as...
No,
it's still a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Civil War had quite a few quips, and...
Yeah.
I mean, it got serious at the end, and...
Absolutely.
Avengers, the second Avengers movie.
Let's just put it this way. It wasn't Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, that one.
It was not Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. Or Spider-Man, so... Yeah, Spider-Man had quite a few quips too, but yeah.
Well, Spider-Man.
Yeah. But yeah, Thor Ragnarok definitely provided on the quips and everything, but yeah, this one, not quite as many, but that doesn't take away from the fact that it's still an amazing movie. I did see someone's complaint, like, when they went to opening night, one of the early reviews was they complained that T'Challa didn't beat up enough bad guys, and he got absolutely drilled on Twitter for saying that.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's a superhero movie. He's like,
yeah.
It brought it down from a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes to a 98. That one review.
Oh my gosh.
And people ripped into him, not just on Twitter, but on the actual Rotten Tomatoes website, just because he didn't beat up enough bad guys.
Yeah, and then a lot of people are asking me about what was the deal with the first post-credit scene. I guess it's the pre-credit scene in a way, but It's the one at the press conference where he's at the United Nations and he's making his huge speech. Hey, that speech was beautiful. I don't quite remember all what it said. I remember it was very moving. But what that scene kind of was doing, I think it was reminiscent of the first Iron Man, because the first Iron Man ends in that press conference and he's like, you know, truth is, I am Iron Man. So in the UN conference, they're like, who are you anyway? It's like, well, I am Black Panther. He didn't say that, but
yeah, because it cuts him off.
It was kind of leading into that. I felt like it was nice.
I don't think he actually says. I mean,
Of course he doesn't.
But he just, I believe he goes into all of what Wakanda actually has. Like, yeah, which we're sitting on a ton.
Yeah.
Like thousands of millions of tons of
vibranium. Which I think is really going to play in Infinity War, because in the trailers for Infinity War, we see Wakanda and Black Panther and all those guys. And so, I mean, obviously we knew they were going to play a larger role in that movie. And so now we kind of know why, because by the end of this movie, they're entering the larger world stage, which is probably going to have a lot of complications just for that alone. But it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But along with that, this movie didn't cut into the rest of the MCU, which is fine. I love that. It really stood out on its own as its own standalone film. Like, obviously, the events from other MCU movies kind of influence it a little bit, but I did like that it was kind of its own thing.
I just hope that with this being so close to Infinity War, because after the second after credit trailer, we see that it even says Black Panther will be seen again in Infinity War.
Yeah.
This movie comes out so close to Infinity War, and people are going to grow such an attachment to these characters. I hope nothing bad happens to them in Infinity War.
We'll see.
Because it's like, we've known them for 4 months, and then they'd be gone. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, and obviously with Infinity War, the post-credit scene, we saw Bucky. There's a joke in the movie about Bucky being there. That's why I was like, yeah, he's probably going to be in the post-credits. And he was there. He's looking pretty zen. It's pretty interesting. So peaceful. I hope. So I'm interested to see how that might play out in Infinity War.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. And there's a lot of hype. I don't think there's any other Marvel movies that, I mean, unless you count Deadpool, but I don't think he's playing a factor into Infinity War at all. So
yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, I think that sums it up. Logan, do you feel pretty good about this movie?
I do. I think it deserves the high rating and the almost half $1 billion. It earned in the first weekend, so well, it's just under $400,000, but still, it's one top five movies of all time as far as opening weekend.
Yeah, I know everyone knew this movie was gonna make a ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
That was never in question. So, 9 out of 10?
I'd say 10 out of
10. Okay, 9.5.
9.75.
Oh.
9.999. Because he didn't beat up enough bad guys.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Alright, we are done here. Again, I'm DJ Ace.
And I'm Logan Weaver.
And it's been fun. This is Cinema Central. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and be nice to each other. Until next time.
Booyah!